Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 7, which is entitled The Waiting World. The objectives are that upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory, summarize the current status of the spread of the gospel to the world. You'll be able to define the term people group, define the term unreached people group, define the term reached people group, identify 5 major unreached people groups, and explain what is meant by a closed country. Our key verse today is going to be found in Matthew, the 9th chapter, 37th verse. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. As an introduction, in this chapter, you will learn of the present spiritual condition of the world which waits for the gospel of the kingdom. Remember the natural example of the harvest field which Jesus used to illustrate the spiritual need of the world. Upon completion of this chapter, you will understand why Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Matthew 9:37. When Jesus was speaking, he was speaking of all the world. Jesus told his followers to go ye and teach all nations. Matthew 28:19. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16:15. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's Luke 24:47. And in Acts 1:8 it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What does it mean to go into all the world? Now, missionaries have gone to every nation, and some measurable Christian witness exists in nearly every country of the earth. But have we gone to all the world, to every creature? Now, geographically, there are millions of villages of the world that have not yet felt the pressure of a missionary's footstep. These are people living in these areas who have never had the opportunity to hear the message of salvation. They are part of the world, but we have not yet reached all the world geographically. Linguistically, the linguistic spread of the gospel refers to written translation of its message into various languages. The Bible is God's message for all mankind. The most effective means of communication in any culture is the native language, which is commonly spoken. There are currently 5,445 languages spoken in the world today. Of this total, approximately 3,000 still need the Bible translated into their own language. These people have never had the opportunity to read God's message to them in His written word. We have not yet reached the world linguistically. As far as population goes, not only have we not reached the whole world geographically and linguistically, we have yet to reach all the population of the world. At the time of our Lord's presence on the earth, the world was estimated to be 250 million people. The number barely doubled by the year 1600. It is estimated that from the time of Adam until 1500 years after the birth of Jesus, the world population increased to 500 million. From 1500 to 1850, the population increased to 1 billion. By 1850, the population had doubled again, and today there are billions of human beings on the earth. Even in great cities where many churches exist, many people have not yet heard about Jesus. We have not reached all the world in the terms of population because millions of people have never heard the gospel message. Then we have different people groups. So if we view the world in the term of nations, then we could say that all the world has been reached because there presently exists within every nation some sort of gospel witness. There are now believers in organized churches in every country on the earth, but this is by no means the same as every tribe and language and people and nation as referred to in Revelation 5:9. When Jesus spoke of all the world, he was not referring to nations alone. The term Jesus used when he spoke of the world was a Greek word, ethne, which this word means ethnic or people groups. Jesus viewed the world in terms of all people or people groups. It is easier to understand the present status of the spread of the gospel if we view the world in the terms of people groups. A people group is defined as a significantly large group of individuals who have a common bond to one another, such as a bond might include a language, culture, customs, and geographic locations. A people group is the largest possible group within which the gospel can spread without encountering problems in understanding and acceptance. Because a people group speaks a common language and is a common culture, the language and cultural barriers which often make presentation of the gospel difficult are eliminated. There are over 19,000 different people groups in the world which have been identified to date. Some have as few as 3,000 members, while others are as large as 30 million. Each continent of the world is made up not only of different nations, but of different people groups. For example, on the continent of Africa, there are 1,000 languages and hundreds of people groups. Each nation is composed of many people groups. When we realize that a single country like Nigeria is composed of 500 different tribal groups, we begin to see the human difference is far greater than the division of just nations. An example of an individual people group is the Somali people of Kenya, Africa. They have common language, history, traditions, and culture, and they are a nomadic people, strongly Muslim in religion, who live in remote areas of the northern province, and they are just one of hundreds of people groups in Kenya. There are two other terms which you should also be familiar. One is an unreached people group, which is a people group among which there is no native community of believers with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize its people without outside assistance. And then there is a reached people group, is one with an adequate number of believers and resources to evangelize their own people without outside assistance. So, in the unreached people categories, there are some 17,000 ethnic or people groups presently without a vital witnessing gospel church. And within these ethnic groups are millions of people, and these unreached people groups can be grouped together in five major categories. The first is tribal people. Tribal groups represent thousands of individuals with varying culture and language differences. Most of them are called animists, which means they worship various spirit beings other than the true God. These spirits include demons and false gods, often represented by idols of wood, metal, or other material substances. Next, we have Muslims. Muslims follow the religion of Islam and the teaching of the Quran. The Muslim people are found largely in Central Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. There are millions of people within the various ethnic groups of the Muslim world. Next, we have Hindus. The Hindus are concentrated mainly in the nation of India, but also are scattered throughout various nations of the world. With its temples, ceremonies, idolatry, and numerous false gods, Hinduism holds millions in spiritual bondage. Next, we have Chinese. The Chinese people represent another large category of unreached people. Many of these Chinese groups are scattered throughout the world, in addition to the millions of unreached groups in China. Next, we have Buddhists. The fifth major category of the unreached people are the Buddhists. And there are many differences between Buddhist groups scattered throughout Eastern Asia, but they are all linked together by idolatry, spirit worship, and demonism. One question you might ask is this: where are the laborers? Why are all these people yet unreached with the gospel, and where are the laborers? Many Christian workers want to labor in the big churches where they have many material advantages and adequate financial support. Some do not want to leave their home and families to work in a difficult circumstances in other cultures. Others have never really caught the biblical world vision. When God views the world, he sees a great gap. It is the gap between the sinful man and a righteous God, but God also sees another gap. It is a gap in the harvest fields of the world. The harvest is ready, but there are few laborers. Millions of people stand in this gap, and they are ready to be harvested for God with the gospel message. God says in Ezekiel 22:30, "And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I have found none." When you fully understand the biblical worldview, you will realize that you are called to stand in this gap. It is the call of all true believers. Next, we have closed countries. One factor that has hindered the spread of the gospel is that in the recent years, 60% of the nations have closed to the traditional methods of spreading the gospel. When a country is closed, it means that they no longer accept missionaries from other nations, and in many cases, they have passed laws governing the religion of their people. In some nations, it's against the law to convert people to Christianity. Why do nations close their doors to the gospel? One, because Satan causes leaders of the nations to, one, adopt an atheistic philosophy which does not acknowledge the existence of God. Leaders of such nations do not want anyone teaching their people about the true and living God. Or two, establishing a strong national religion. Government leaders of such nations do not want their people to convert to Christianity. They want them to accept the national religion so that they can make laws prohibiting the spread of gospel and the entrance of missionaries into their nation. Another one is to adopt a political philosophy that isolates them from the other nations which sent out missionaries, and to close their borders to the gospel. Now, Satan inspires such political isolation and disharmony between nations to hinder the spread of the gospel. So then we have open doors. Even though 60% of the nations are considered closed to the traditional means of evangelizing, in reality there are no closed doors, because Jesus recognized that there would be opposition to the gospel, and he said, "When they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another." Matthew 10:23. So the closed-door concept for many believers represents failure, but Jesus indicated that when one door closes to the gospel, another will open. Sometimes closed doors are used by God to direct us to a more fertile spiritual harvest fields, and this happened to Paul on his evangelistic team found in Acts 16:6-8. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas." So it was at Troas that Paul received the call to go to Macedonia, a field ready to be reaped for God at a later date. Paul was permitted to go to Asia, and sometimes doors are closed because the harvest is not yet ripe. We must be sensitive to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit in such cases. But what about those nations which are closed because of atheistic, religious, and political philosophies? The church has been too quick to be defeated by such closed doors. We must realize that when traditional methods of entering a nation as an evangelist or missionary are not possible, God will reveal another way to penetrate the nation with the gospel. So lastly, we might ask, how will this task be completed? When we face the world waiting for the gospel message, we are overwhelmed by an enormous task that we face. Millions of people yet without Christ, hundreds of languages without God's word, hundreds of people groups without a gospel witness among them. It's overwhelming when we see multitudes like sands of the sea in Tokyo, Sao Paulo, Calcutta, and Hong Kong, uncounted thousands, and each individual should hear, understand, and have the opportunity to respond to the gospel message. So we look at the world with the masses of people yet unreached by the gospel. Our desire should be that of the Apostle Paul, which is found in Romans 15:20-21. "Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." The challenge will only be met as each believer becomes a world Christian. You will learn more about this in the next chapter. So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.